1 Samuel 15 reveals to us the disobedience of Saul, the first king in Israel. In this chapter, God, through his prophet Samuel, gave a very clear command to Saul. He was to go and punish the Amalekites for their sinful and cruel behavior. God's judgment on the Amalekites was such, he commanded Saul, "Now go and smite Amalek, and not only destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." And so God's command to Saul was utter destruction. Saul was given a very serious and a very solemn task. God placed the sword of judgment into Saul's hand, and he told him how he was to wield the sword. However, even though God's command to Saul was unmistakably clear, Saul did not give heed to God's voice. Instead of obedience in his life, there was disobedience. Now, last time as we considered the opening 9 verses in this chapter, we noted 3 things about Saul's disobedience against God at this time. We thought on the corruptness of Saul's disobedience. As Saul refused to obey God's word and did not destroy the Amalekites as the Lord told him, he behaved in a sinful and rebellious way. Therefore, his disobedience, like all disobedience against God, was corrupt behavior. He acted in a most evil and corrupt and wicked way. And so we thought upon the corruptness of Saul's disobedience. Then we also thought on the character of Saul's disobedience. Mixed in with Saul's disobedience, there was some compliance with God's word. It was not the case that Saul utterly rejected all that God said. He obeyed to some degree that which God told him. He went and fought the Amalekites, and he slew the vast majority of them. Nevertheless, Saul did not utterly destroy all that they had and spared them not. But he spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good. Saul spared that which was good. He spared the best of what the Amalekites had. Yet partial obedience was still disobedience. He was still refusing to do what God said, and he was doing just what he wanted. It's very important that we understand that which God demands in our lives is full obedience. That which God demands of his people is full obedience. Anything less than full obedience is to live in disobedience against God. And we see this here with Saul. This was the character of his disobedience. There was mixed in with it some compliance, and yet because it was only half compliance, it was all disobedience. This was the character of it. And then we also noted last time the cause of Saul's disobedience. The reason why Saul went down this path of rebelling against God and of not following God's command was because he thought he was wiser than God. Saul placed his own wisdom above the word of God. And so he went his own way in defiance of that which God said. In all disobedience, this is what men do. They refuse to follow God's voice because they think better. They think they know better. They foolishly think they're wiser than the Lord. And this is true of all disobedience. Men think they have no need to listen to God because they know better. This was the cause of Saul's disobedience. We then considered these different aspects of Saul's sinful and disobedient behavior. The corruptness of it, the character of it, and the cause of it. However, in returning to this passage once more, there's something else that I want us to note about Saul's disobedience. And that is the cover-up in Saul's disobedience. The cover-up. This is something which is very much brought before us in these verses we have read today. Verses 10 to 23. After Saul is confronted with his sin and disobedience against God, we read here of how he tried to cover up and excuse that which he had done. And this is exactly what Saul does. As Samuel comes to him and confronts him about his sin, he immediately engages in a great cover-up. And he tries to condone and excuse his sin. Now here is another great problem when it comes to disobedience against God. Man, with his sinful heart, is always trying to cover up and excuse his sin. Indeed, this is what we naturally do as sinners. We try to hide. And we try to justify our sin. And justify our lives of wickedness. If we think right back to the first sin ever committed. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. And ate the forbidden fruit. They immediately tried to cover up their sin. And excuse their guilt. Genesis 3:7 tells us Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now this was an attempt to cover the shame which they now experienced because of their sin. They were ashamed. And they felt a sense of guilt and embarrassment. And so they tried to cover this up by sewing fig leaves together. When the Lord then confronted Adam about his sin, Adam declared, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And so here we have Adam said, "Listen, it's all her fault. It's the woman that you gave me." And really he was pointing the finger at the Lord here as well. And when the Lord said to Eve, "What is this that thou hast done?" She said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Notice here, there is the passing of the blame. And the trying to excuse their behavior, their disobedient behavior and actions. They were trying to condone what they had done. Trying to excuse what they had done. And this is still what men and women naturally do. This is what we do as sinners. Instead of confessing and owning our sin and disobedience before God, we make excuses and we try to cover up. We try to condone our sin and blame even others. And this is what we now see in Saul's life in this passage before us today. Saul tries to condone and cover up his sin. Notice then with me here a number of things as we think of the cover up in Saul's disobedience. The cover up in Saul's disobedience. The first thing I want us to note here today is the features of Saul's cover up. The features of it. See again what it says in verses 10 to 12. "Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal." In these words we are told of how the Lord spoke with the prophet Samuel about Saul's disobedience. And how God sent Samuel to confront Saul for defying and disregarding his commandments. Just in passing, I think it's an important point to note here, how Saul's disobedience was not only most displeasing to the Lord, but it was also something that greatly troubled and grieved godly Samuel. Saul's disobedience not only made the Lord sad, but it also made Samuel sad. As Samuel hears of what Saul had done, his heart is filled with grief. And that night, he was unable to sleep. Now here is a truly godly response to sin. Here is a truly godly response to disobedience against the Lord. God is greatly grieved and saddened by man's sin and by man's disobedience. Therefore, we as God's people should also be disturbed and troubled by sin and wickedness. Wherever we meet that sin and wickedness. Saul's sin, it grieved Samuel. And he cried unto the Lord all night. This needs to be our response to sin wherever we find it. Sin should sadden us. It should grieve us. The sin in our own hearts, the sin in our own lives should grieve us. It should break our hearts. The sin in our families, among our children, among our grandchildren, among our loved ones, their sin, their disobedience, their disregarding of God's ways, it ought to be that which causes us sorrow and grief of heart. Move us to God that he will move in prayer and answer to prayer and deliver them. Sin in our land. Think of the great sin of our nation. It's rebellion against God. These things should disturb us, even as Samuel was disturbed at the sin in the nation of Israel. And of course, sin in the church. Waywardness amongst God's people should also cause us grief of heart and sadness. While the world mocks and laughs at sin, the Christian should always be grieved and saddened by sin wherever it is found. David declared in Psalm 119 in the verse 136, rivers of waters run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law. Think of what David says here. Rivers of waters run down mine eyes. He was a broken man. He was filled with sorrow, because there was a disregarding of God's laws and God's ways. How much more this ought to be the state of God's people today. If you think about our world and our nation society. A total disrespect to God's truth and His word. And yet the sad reality is, so often our eyes are dry. However, as we think of the features of Saul's cover-up in this passage, we see that Saul tried to cover over his sin. And he tried to excuse his sin in a number of different ways. Notice here, Saul tried to cover his sin with his claims, with that which he claimed. See in verse 13, that which Saul said the very moment he set his eyes upon God's servant Samuel. Verse 13 says, "And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord." Saul knew in his heart. He knew in his heart that he had not obeyed the Lord. He knew that he had went off and done his own thing and not fully followed God's command. Therefore, the moment he sees Samuel, he immediately begins to proclaim, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord." What Saul was seeking to do here was cover his disobedience. Cover his sin by claiming he had done right and fully followed the Lord, fully obeyed the Lord. He was deflecting here, we could say. Deflecting away from what he had done by claiming he had done what was right. He knew in his heart of hearts he hadn't fully obeyed the Lord. But as soon as he sees Samuel, this is what he tries to do. Cover up, excuse, condone his sin by claiming. Oh, I've done it all. Blessed be thou of the Lord, Samuel. Fully followed the Lord, fully performed his word. See also what it says in verse 20. And Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites." See again here, Saul is claiming he's done everything. He's utterly destroyed the Amalekites. This was his claim. This was his proclamation. And so he tried to cover his sin by claiming he had done that which is right, and he had obeyed the Lord. Now there are many people, and listen to me carefully here, there are many people, many professing Christians, and this is the very way they try to cover up and excuse their sin. Through that which they claim. Such people know that they're not living in obedience to God, not living lives of obedience. They're not daily walking in the truth. Yet they tell themselves their disobedience, well, it's not a serious and concerning issue. It's not a big problem. And the reason why it's not a big issue is because they're Christians. They have prayed the sinner's prayer. And so they're one of God's people. And so their sin and their disobedience is not a big issue really, because after all, they're one of God's people. And I believe there are many people in our land today, and they're found in this position, living lives of disobedience. But they think all is okay because of some decision they made X amount of years ago, because of some prayer that they uttered. They think, well, it's all okay because I'm, after all, a Christian. And that's what they're claiming, you see. That's what they're claiming. That's what they're professing. Their life of disobedience, the way they live, is not really too big an issue. It's not overly concerning, because I've made a profession and I've made a decision. They might even speak about being backslid. I'm a Christian, but I'm just backslid. And that's how they're condoning, that's how they're covering up their life of sin and their life of disobedience. Just let me say, such thinking is not only completely unbiblical, it's leading multitudes to hell itself. It's a great weapon of the devil. Because if the devil can con you into thinking all is well when nothing is well, if he can con you into thinking you're on the narrow way which leads to life, while all along you're on the broad road which leads to destruction, he's got you exactly where he wants you. We need to be very careful about this. Listen to the words of the Savior in Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Notice here, these people were all claiming something. They were claiming to be the Lord's. We're one of your people. We identify as your people. We were found there in the midst of the church when all the things were taking place. We were there. Notice what the Lord says. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Ye that live in disobedience to my law. Ye that live lives of disobedience. That's the thought. I'll be warned today. What we might claim about ourselves will never cover up a life of disobedience on the day of judgment. It will never. Christ said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Now I know I quote this verse often, but it's so true. This is the prominent feature of a Christian. Obedience to Christ, the Good Shepherd. This is what will mark the Christian out. This is evidence that you are a Christian. You're one of Christ's sheep. You follow him. You seek to live in obedience to his voice. And so Saul tried to cover up his sin with his claims. What he claimed, he had done that which was right. But then notice also in this passage, Saul tried to cover his sin with his conduct. We read of this in verse 15. See what it says in verse 15. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. That's the animals. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Notice also what it says in verse 21. But the people took of the spoiled sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. You see, in these verses, Saul speaks of how they had spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord. What we then see here is that Saul seeks to justify his disobedience and cover it up by saying, it was all for a good reason. It was all for a good reason. I've kept the best of the animals alive that I might sacrifice them unto the Lord. That's why I've done it. Basically what Saul does here is he tries to excuse and cover over his bad behavior with good behavior. That's what he's doing here. He tries to cover over his bad behavior with good behavior. I haven't fully obeyed the Lord in this regard, but this is the reason, because I want to sacrifice to the Lord. I want to worship the Lord. Now again, here is something that many foolishly do in an attempt to cover their sin. They try to cover over the wrong that they do with so-called good works and religious activities. And their hope is the good will outweigh the bad. The good will outweigh the bad. And I believe this is what the vast majority of people are trusting in when it comes to the day of judgment. Many in our society, many in our world will say, listen, I know I'm a sinner, I know I've done wrong, but I've tried my best, I've tried to be a good person, so on the day of judgment, I'm just hoping the good will outweigh the bad. And that's what they're putting their confidence in. Yet we need to remember, any good works of righteous behavior that we could ever produce can never cover over or cover up the great problem of our sin. Oh, that men would understand this. There are no works that we can ever do that can deal with the problem of our sin. The sponge of our good works, the sponge of our religious activity is never able to wipe away the stain of our sin. Never able to do that. In fact, this is what Isaiah 64 verse 6 reminds us of. It tells us all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. In other words, our very best, the very best that we can do, the very best we can do, it just adds to our sin. It adds to our corruption. The only thing that can cover our sin and disobedience against God is Christ's atoning work. It's Christ's atoning work. Only the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is able to cleanse us from all sin. And so even though Saul claimed he was doing something that was good here, it didn't cover over his sin. His conduct tried to cover over his sin with his conduct as well as his claims. Notice also here, Saul tried to cover his sin with his circumstances. This again is something that is brought before us in verses 15 and 21. Notice here, Saul refers to how the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen. And the people took of the spoil. In other words, Saul was saying to Samuel, this is what the people did. This is what the people did. And there was really nothing I could do about it. It was just the circumstances I was faced with. The people wanted to spare the best of the animals. And this is why we didn't slay them, like God commanded. Saul then tried to cover up and justify his disobedience by blaming the circumstances he was faced with. All the people were here, and there was more of them than me, and what could I do? This is what the people wanted, and I had to give the people what they wanted. This was the situation, or the circumstances he was faced with. Once more, here is a ploy that is very often used to condone and justify sin and disobedience against God. How many have used this? Well, I wouldn't normally have done that. I wouldn't normally have behaved in this way. But I was faced with this difficult situation. This difficult circumstances. How many, even when they lose their temper and say things and do things that are wicked, this is how they condone their behavior. Well, I know I shouldn't have behaved in that way, but I was provoked. I was provoked. And look what they were doing. And they tried to condone their sin by their circumstances. This was also the empty excuse that Aaron made when he made the golden calf at the foot of Mount Sinai. In Exodus 32, we are told of how Aaron said to Moses, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. And he was saying to Moses, listen, don't be angry with me. Don't be cross with me. Thou knowest the people, that they are set in mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. Aaron again was trying to excuse his sin by blaming his circumstances. The people wanted this. And if I didn't give them what they wanted, maybe they would have stoned me. They were angry, they were cross. And so Moses, this was why I did what I did. Because of the situation I was faced with. You had been up into Mount Sinai and you've been gone for so long. What was I to do? And so he tried to blame the circumstances, just like Saul here. Yet the truth is, disobedience against God can never be justified. It can never be justified. Going against God's word, no matter what circumstances, no matter what difficulties we are faced with in life, it can never be justified. It can never be condoned. In Philippians 2 verse 8, we're told of how Christ our Savior was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ, he was obedient on to the death of the cross. Therefore, if Christ was obedient when facing the most extreme of circumstances, think of that. He was obedient even when the cross was looming large before him. He was obedient to his Father in heaven, even with this situation facing him. And if he was obedient, there's simply no situation we can hide behind in life. No situation we can hide behind which excuses disobedience against God in our lives. No situation. The Christian has always got the option to obey God. Always got the option to do what is right. And yes, there might be circumstances we might have to face. But there are no circumstances we can face which makes it right to do that which is wrong. We have then here the features of Saul's cover-up. He tried his best to condone and excuse his sin, but the fact remained. He had disobeyed the command of the Lord. Nothing he said or nothing he done could change this. Even though he tried his best to cover up his sin, he couldn't. And so we have the features of Saul's cover-up. But then notice with me, secondly here, the foolishness of Saul's cover-up. As Saul disobeyed God's command and did not utterly destroy the Amalekites and all that they had, he behaved in a most foolish manner. In a foolish manner. There's no greater foolishness than to disobey the Lord. No greater foolishness. Proverbs 28 verse 7 tells us, Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son. Here is true wisdom. It is to give heed to God's law and keep it. Here is true wisdom. It is to walk in the truth. The wise people in this world are not the top academics in renowned universities. They are not those that are very learned in the things of this world. But the wise people of this world are those that have a holy fear of God and seek to walk according to His word. As Saul then disobeyed God's word, he behaved in a most foolish way. But Saul not only behaved foolishly in not obeying God's command, he also behaved foolishly in trying to cover up his disobedience. Trying to cover up. If sinning against God is the greatest foolishness, then trying to cover up our sin and seeking to hide it is the second most foolish thing that man can do. God's word gives us the warning in Numbers 32 and the verse 23. Be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. Sin and disobedience against God will always find us out. Therefore, it is foolishness to attempt to cover up. Foolishness. As we think of how Saul tried to cover over his disobedience, we see here that his behavior was especially foolish for two reasons. In the first place, it was foolish for Saul to try and cover up his sin because God sees all things. Because God sees all things. Notice what Samuel says to Saul here in verse 19. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil? And then note these words, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. See here how Samuel makes Saul aware that his disobedience was all carried out in the sight of the Lord. And we should also note here that Samuel made Saul aware. God knew all his excuses. All his efforts to try and cover up his disobedience was nothing but a bunch of lies. Samuel had claimed he kept the best of the animals for sacrifice. But see here, Samuel declares how he flew upon the spoil and this evil in the sight of the Lord. In other words, these animals were not for sacrifice at all. They were spoil for Saul. Because he flew upon them. They were spoiled for Saul. He wanted them for himself. And God knew it. God seen this and God knew it. And it was therefore foolish for Saul to try and cover his sin. For God saw all that he did. And the Lord knew all about Saul's intentions. He knew what was in his heart. He knew what he desired and what he wanted. This, of course, is still the case for us today. The Lord knows all about us. And he sees not only our deeds, but he sees and knows our very thoughts and desires. He knows all about us. God knows every part of our lives, every thought in our minds, every desire in our hearts. Listen to the words of Isaiah, or Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways, for there's not a word in my tongue. But lo, Lord, thou knowest it all together. God's all-seeing eyes observe and know every detail of our lives. Every single detail. To then try and cover up our sin is utter craziness. We can't hide from God, that's the point. We cannot hide from God. We can't hide from the one who at the end of time will judge us. That's the impossibility. He sees us and he sees exactly as we are. What foolishness then it is to try and cover up our sin. It's crazy. It's madness. The truth that God is the all-seeing one should drive all men to Christ. Should drive us to his arms. Should drive us to the place of shelter and deliverance from our sin. Because there's no other way of escape. God sees us. God knows us. It was foolishness for Saul to try and cover up his sin because God sees all things. We can also say it was foolishness for Saul to try and cover up his sin because of the nature of sin. Simply because of the nature of sin. This passage of Scripture does remind us of the very nature of sin. See again what it says in verses 13 and 14. And Samuel came to Saul And Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? After Saul professes to fully obey the Lord, Samuel just pauses for a moment. He pauses for a moment. Then he asks the question, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? If these events were not so serious and solemn, what happens here would be almost comical. Saul professing, Oh, I have obeyed, I have fully obeyed, I've done everything, fully followed the Lord. Meanwhile, there's all this bleating and lowing in the background. Samuel says, Well, what's this about then? What's this about? Yet as we think of what happens here, we are reminded of the very nature of sin. We're reminded of the very nature of sin. You see, sin in our lives is not something that can be hid and kept secret. The reason why sin cannot be kept hid is because it always manifests itself and it causes all sorts of problems. These animals bleating and lowing were just exposing Saul's sin and disobedience. His sin couldn't be silent. In a literal sense, this was true of Saul here. His sin was actually crying out through these animals, making this noise. But this is the very nature of sin, you see. This is what sin does in our lives. It is not something that can be kept secret or hid, but it will always come to the surface. Always come to the surface. Oh, that men would learn the lesson, this lesson about sin. Sin can't be hid, it cannot be covered, it cannot be kept away in a secret place where no one will find it. It will eventually come out and be exposed. It's like an infected organ in your body. It will eventually manifest symptoms in how the person is able to live. We see this with sin in David's life. Think of David. David fell into terrible sin with Bathsheba. Committed adultery with her. And she was with child. And so David now had a problem. He'd committed adultery with a married woman and she was with child and her husband was in the battlefield. How could he cover up his sin? What was he going to do? And so he decides, first of all, let's get Bathsheba's husband Uriah and we'll bring him home. Bring him home from the battlefield. And then no one will know the difference. They'll think it's his child that she has. But when Uriah came home to Jerusalem, he stayed in Jerusalem. He didn't go to his own home where his wife was. And so David thought, what else can I do? How can I hide my sin further? There needs to be another solution. And so he sends Uriah to the battlefield, to a dangerous area. And he gives the command to Joab, let Uriah go into an area and then withdraw from him and let it be slain. And that's what happened. Uriah is dead. And so David sends her Bathsheba and he takes Bathsheba to be his wife. And so it appears that the relationship is lawful and that this child is just David's child. And the whole thing is covered up. The whole thing is hid from view. No one knows what's happened. But sin had entered his home. From that time in his home, there was nothing but conflict. His sin wasn't kept secret. It was exposed time and time and time and time again. Because he had brought sin into his home and it brought great sorrow and destruction and death and rape and murder and all of these things. All of these things came about because David tried to cover up his sin. Another example we could give is Joseph's brothers. Think of Joseph's brothers. Oh, they thought they'd get rid of Joseph. They'd got rid of him to Egypt and they'd lied to their father, Jacob, and they thought the whole thing was done and dusted and no one would ever know the truth. But eventually they were exposed and their sin was brought out into the light. You see, trying to cover up our sin is foolishness, for it will come back to bite us. It will come back to bite us. Christian, this is something that you need to remember. You need to remember this. If there's sin in your life today, if there's something that is not right, get it put right. Because if you try to cover that up, it will eventually come out. And it will be exposed. Proverbs says, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burnt? That cannot happen. We try to cover up fire, we try to cover up sin, we will be burnt. And when we're burnt, there will be a scar. There will be damage. Of course, this is especially true of the unsaved. This is especially true of those who are outside of Christ. You might try to cover up your sin, ignore your sin, forget about your sin, bluff over your sin, make excuses for your sin, justify yourself in whatever way you like, and there's a multitude of ways that men do that. I'm better than that man. That man professes to be a Christian. I'm better than him. And they've all these lists of reasons why you should not get right with God and get your sin dealt with. But at the end of the day, you'll be found out on the day of judgment and your sin will be exposed. And you will suffer damnation for your sin. How foolish Saul was to seek to try and cover up his sin. Because God sees all things. And because the very nature of sin is this, it can't be covered up. It eventually will come out. And so we have in this passage the foolishness of Saul's cover-up, as well as the features of Saul's cover-up. The final thing I just want to mention here very quickly is the fruit of Saul's cover-up. We read of this in verses 23 and 24. Or 22 and 23 rather. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Samuel here declares to Saul the solemn words, the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now what this teaches us is Saul's sin was not forgiven. Saul's sin was not put away. And so he faced the judgment of God for his disobedience. Faced the judgment of God for his disobedience. This was the fruit of Saul's cover-up. Because he tried to cover over his sin, instead of openly confessing it and acknowledging it, his sin could not be dealt with. It couldn't be put away. Because he tried to hide it instead of confessing it, his sin couldn't be forgiven. And so he faced the consequences of this. This is the sad consequences when men try and cover up their sin. It always leads to God's judgment coming upon them. It always leads to God's judgment coming upon them. The only way we can have our sin and disobedience dealt with and no forgiveness is by confessing our sin. And seeking cleansing through Christ. This is the only way sin can be dealt with. There's only one way. Only one way. And that is by coming and owning our sin, owning our disobedience, owning our guilt, and saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And let me say that. That's true for the unsaved and for God's people. If there's sin in your life, this is the only way to get it dealt with. Bring it to Christ. Own it in his presence. And seek for forgiveness and pardon. Proverbs 28 verse 13 declares, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Think of those words. You try to cover your sin. Like Saul did here, you'll not prosper. But if you confess it and forsake it, then you will have mercy. Think also of the words of 1 John 1 and the verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God, there is a way sin can be dealt with. There is a way sin can be put away. There's a place of forgiveness. There's a place of cleansing. This is the message of the gospel today. This is a message that's to thrill our hearts. We who are sinners by nature and sinners by practice, we who constantly fail, God is merciful. And if we come and own our sin and ask for forgiveness, he is faithful and just. And he will forgive. And he will cleanse. Therefore, as we are confronted by our sin and disobedience, We must not be like Saul. We must not be like Saul, trying to cover up our sin. How foolish this is. But we must confess it before God. Get it dealt with. This is what we must do today. Maybe you're in God's house this morning and you know there is sin in your life. You know there's things that aren't right. Maybe no one else knows about it. But you know there's things that need to be put right. Sin, secret sin. Sin that is damaging to you. Sin perhaps that will bring you to hell itself because you've never been to Christ. Don't seek to cover it up. That's the road of destruction and ruin. Bring it to Christ. Bring it to the Savior today. Just as sick people came to Christ when he walked this earth and Christ brought miracles in their bodies. So if you bring the sickness of your sin to Christ today, he will work miracle within your soul. You will know his forgiveness, his salvation, the power of his Spirit in your life. This is what we need to do. Don't follow the path of Saul. Don't seek to cover up your disobedience. But go to Christ with it. And you shall have forgiveness and pardon. I trust God will bless his word to our hearts this day for his own name's sake. Amen and amen.